welcome to Pod 29 of the official Palace Pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on YouTube, the official Palace app, eagles.cbfc.co.uk, and all our social media channels. Right, what is on Pod 29? So as always, we'll have Roy's press conference ahead of the match against Cardiff at the weekend. We've got Statman, who'll be joining us in a slightly different way to usual. And then we'll have a few bits and pieces from Box Park this week. We were down there on Tuesday evening for the end of season awards, where we gave out all the main club awards. It was free for everyone that came to turn up. They got to meet loads of first team players. Then there was a musical performance from the Manor. And at the start of the show, on stage came Chairman Steve Parrish and manager Roy Hodgson, and me and Kelly Summers, who does a lot of presenting for the BBC, Premier League Productions, and the Champions League for Optus Sport. We chatted to them on stage, and here is the interview. Box Park, please make some noise for your chairman Steve Parrish and manager Roy Hodgson.
Gents, thank you so much for being here, as if you'd be anywhere else tonight. Steve, a seventh successive season in the Premier League, a club record, a remarkable achievement. How proud are you with everyone associated with the club?
Oh, unbelievably proud. Proud of the manager, proud of the players, but most of all proud of this lot, because, you know, we wouldn't be able to do it without this lot. Honestly, this year, especially our away form, up and down the country, our supporters are just unbelievable. I mean, they make the hair stand on the back of your neck everywhere you go. It's just fantastic.
I watch a lot of Premier League football, and definitely the best fans in the Premier League. How pleased are you with the transfer activity, the business you've done this year as well? Because you've made some fantastic signings, not only permanent players, but in the loan market as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody at the club that works on that, the manager, Dougie Friedman, have got to be commended, really, because we didn't spend anywhere near the most money. But I think we got the biggest bang for buck. So, yeah, very, very pleased.
Bang for buck, such a Palace term. Roy, coming to you very quickly. Two games to go of the season still, so still 6 points to play for. But how pleased are you with where the club currently sit?
Well, I think, like the chairman said, it's been a very tough season. It always is in the Premier League. We've had to work very hard. I think the players have done an outstanding job, I really do, with two matches to go. I know they would like to finish the season strongly and get some more points on the board as well. Despite the fact I heard that some of you would rather see us lose to Cardiff and Brighton possibly go there. But it's... I think that the league gets harder every year, there's no doubt about that. It's harder to stay in it if you're not one of the top six clubs. The matches get tougher. There are literally no games where you can go onto the field thinking, we're better than the opponents today, we'll win this game. You have to fight and work hard, do a lot of work in training, and I've got to say, you've got an incredible bunch of fellas up there who are outstanding professionals, and they've got their reward this year.
Roy, we saw some really good moments from the season there. Which performance pleased you the most?
Well, in terms of results, you've got to say the Man City game and the Arsenal game, they were the two. Definitely the two results. I thought we played very well against Leicester at home, for example. I thought that was another very, very good performance. We did well to beat Tottenham in the Cup as well. That was a good performance. So there's been a lot of good performances. I think we could have had a few more points with a little bit more luck along the way. But you have to be careful what you wish for in life. We set out to stay in the league. We set out to stay in the league with a bit of a margin this year, so we weren't waiting on the last game of the season to stay up. We've achieved that as well. So I'm more than satisfied what the players have achieved this year, and I think they deserve a lot of credit. I really do.
Now, Steve, we've heard you talk before about progress on the academy front. Is that becoming even more of a focus to you, the academy?
Absolutely. I mean, our academy is really everything to this club. We've got the second highest amounts of academy minutes in the Premier League this season. Wilfred and Aaron obviously make us all proud. As all the players do, but it's always particularly special when you get a player from the local area. It means so much to the fans. And of course, you know, it's so beneficial to the club. That's really how we could punch above our weight, you know, and we've got to invest in that area. I know Roy's very keen on exploiting that, and it's a testament also to the manager that he played Aaron, brought him into the team. You know, you can't do it without coaching and managers that want to give these people a chance. So we've got a really good environment for the young players. We've got some really good, exciting young players. We just won the Under 15 Floodlit Cup against Chelsea. We narrowly lost to Barcelona in the Mediterranean Cup. You know, this is a Crystal Palace side going out into Europe and doing really, really well at under 15 level. So we've got some fantastic talent, and if we invest in it, I think we'll bring more through. And I know these guys want to see more Wilfrieds, more Aarons, you know, and I know how they'll respond to it.
Steve, talking about the future. The Selhurst Park development, is there anything you can tell these fans about that as we stand here now?
Yeah, things are moving forward. I mean, I think that what all these guys want to see, what we all want to see, what the players want to see is progress of the club. And that's, you know, we've had some difficult moments with that, and there are still some hurdles to get over. But that and the academy we're 100% committed to. You know, don't think for a minute that I don't think like a supporter when I see what Tottenham are doing and other clubs. You know, we need to get there, and it's a big challenge for me and a big challenge for everybody at the club, but we need to make sure it happens. And certainly for me, I won't rest until we see that new stand built and we see the investment in the academy.
That definitely deserves a round of applause. Now, there's going to be a few people out here and a few people up there, I imagine, getting ready to go on a summer holiday. Is it going to be a busy summer for you?
Well, I mean, I think we've got an extremely talented squad. So my first thing would be, I hope not. You know, I think that we've got a very talented squad, we've got a great management team, and we want to try and look up the league. So, of course, we're always looking to add to it, but our first 11 are excellent. You know, I mean, to get into our first team, I don't think is easy. So, you know, we need to be as smart as we have in the last couple of windows, but definitely we're always looking to improve.
Look, I know we're going to speak to both of you again later on. So for now, Box Park, please put your hands together for Steve Parish and Roy Hodgson.
Chairman and manager there are moving from those two key positions to the captain of Crystal Palace Football Club, Luka Milivojevic. He came on stage to present the Players' Player of the Season award, which, of course, went to Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And here he is on stage talking to Kelly Summers.
I'm delighted to say I'm now joined by the captain, Luka Milivojevic. Luka, you took your time getting them down here, but we got them down here. How much of a privilege is it to be captain of this lot?
Hello to everyone, first of all. It's a very big privilege to be captain of this team, to work with this group. And I can say that this season, I've been so proud, and I think we are so happy how this season is going. There is two games to finish. We're going to try to do the best until the end. And of course, I'm going to try to do with my teammates best as I can and to finish high as possible.
He did well there because they were taking the mickey out of him a little bit. How has this season been for you? Because you talk about being proud. Do you look back and you're pleased with how you've done?
You know, at the moment, I think we are on 42 points. We are so happy and proud. But I think this season we didn't have a lot of luck. I think many games we lost a lot of points where we maybe didn't deserve. But in the end, we can say that we had a successful season because we are staying in Premier League. And especially these people going to support us next season in Premier League. That's the most important.
Now, we heard earlier about, obviously, Brighton maybe get relegated. They were saying that they wanted you to do a little favour. They talked about, obviously, you've got to play Cardiff. and they were saying about how maybe they wanted you to do it, help Brighton get relegated, but ultimately we want to win the last two games of the season. How fired up are you guys to end this season on a high?
You know what? This week we are preparing the new game against Cardiff, and we are preparing coaching staff. They are preparing the game on the same way as we prepared the first game of the season. And we're going to go on Saturday to try to win the game, take 3 points, and to try to finish high as possible, because we need to care about ourselves, not about Brighton.
Luca, the suspense for this one particularly is killing me. Please, can you reveal who is the Palace Players Player of the season?
The winner is Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Aaron, voted by your teammates as player of the season. How much does that mean to you?
It means a lot, you know, because obviously I know that they want the best from me, and that's what I always try to give.
Now, you've had loads of Player of the Month awards this season, 3 awards tonight. Where are you going to keep them all?
I'm going to have to find space for them.
Okay, look, Box Park, make some noise for the man of 2018-19, Academy graduate, Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
So Luke was there presenting that award to Aaron Wan-Bissaka, our player of the season, and here's what Roy Hodgson had to say about him and the team on stage at Box Park.
Roy, how worthy a winner is this man of the award?
Well, he's been outstanding. He's been outstanding, really, from the moment we thrust him into the limelight. He had a baptism of fire, I remember, well over a year ago now. I think he played 3 of the top 6 teams in his first 4 games, replacing another stalwart of the team, a guy who's done great service, Joel Ward, who got injured, and Aaron got his chance. And of course, since that moment, he's been so good in all of the games. It's not just the defending that you've seen here. He's also been very good with us on the ball going forward. He's a complete fullback as far as I'm concerned, and we're very lucky to have him, and I'm delighted for him and his family that he's here to receive the award tonight.
And finally, Roy, before we let you go, do you have a message to these Palace fans who have been here up and down the country for you once again, making so much noise as they have done tonight, but they've done it all season?
Yes, I have indeed. I mean, I don't think that we ever tire of thanking you for your support, which is a very loyal support. It's quite strange sometimes away from home we play in stadia where there's 50, 60,000 people, and we hear your support more than we hear the home fans, which is an incredible credit to you. But you need to know that we're going to need that support more and more as the years go by. We heard tonight 7 consecutive years now in the Premier League. That is some achievement. It really is. And if we're going to stay there for the next 7 years, it's because of the support we get from you, the encouragement we get from you, the backing we get from you, and the fact that you make Selhurst Park a very difficult place to come to. So we all thank you very much indeed, and we look forward to seeing you next year.
Palace fans, Roy Hodgson and your player of the season, Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Now I am at the training ground, and a man who is not with me at the moment is Statman, because he is over at Selhurst Park. We couldn't get our diaries to match up this week in order to record this, so for the first time, we're going to go on the phone. We're going to telephone Statman. I've let him know that he's going to be recorded from the moment he picks up, so I'm looking forward to hearing what greeting he has for us. Let's call up Statman now.
I'm a stat man.
Oh, Chrissy glistens magic, he wears a magic hat. How are you, mate?
Oh, great, thanks. Where are you singing like that?
I'm in Legends Restaurant here at Palace Park. Where are you?
Oh, we haven't, do you know what, we haven't flogged Legends on the podcast before. Tell me about it. What's in Legends?
What's in Legends, mate? Oh, it's absolutely glorious. Can I just say, though, first, when you've called, I've never spoken about that. What pops up on my phone? What do you think you saved as?
Chris CPFC?
No. Much better than that.
Chrissy G?
No. You're Chrissy G, brackets Hollyoaks. Much needed. Right, mate, do you want me to chat you about Legends?
Yeah, go on, tell me about it. Where are you? This isn't set up, by the way, listeners. This is pure ad-libbing.
This is ad-libbing at its finest. It's just a lovely restaurant, mate. You've got the one and only host in here, Neil Shipley, who for me is the people's man, isn't he? He's like, in the nicest possible way, he's like a pub landlord up there. He rules the roost, and for those that have experienced it here, you'll know what I'm on about. He's absolutely quality up here, so he's our main man in here. Have you been in Legends, haven't you?
I have, yeah, I've been in there. It was more for my, although, of course, you know, our listeners are very sophisticated. I'm sure they've themselves gone on to hospitality.cpfc.co.uk to look at our premium range.
Thank you for the plug.
Right, anyway, we're 1:45 into this chat now. By the way, I'm in the interview room, the Premier League interview room here at the training ground, hence the echo.
It's very echoey.
Yeah, it's like a toilet. I'm not on the toilet. I'd like to confirm that.
I thought you were. It was either that or you're in a cave somewhere. It's immensely echoey. But anyway, so the show goes on, doesn't it?
It always does for me.
Right. Just quickly, how did Box Park go for you?
Yeah, it was all right. It was good. I mean, it was a good night. I was a bit average in my performance. The highlight of the show. I quite like the Speroni section. That was quite nice. That was a highlight.
I think when you introduced about 37 people on stage.
Yeah, that was not planned. And then they started throwing out other players. Luckily, I knew everyone's names. I did get one name slightly wrong. Because I had to suddenly think.
To your credit, though, there were academy guys that came up. There was I thought the IT guys were going to come up. Like, you were pressed for your knowledge.
It was ridiculous, wasn't it? Do you know what the worst bit was? What do you think the worst bit of the show was for me?
Sound checks, I don't know, what was it?
It was the opening when the manor went off to Glad All Over and I thought the track was going to fade out as I walked on, and they played the whole of the rest of the song with me just stood there on stage, everyone singing Glad All Over at me, and then I put my iPad down and joined in with the hand clapping, and all I could think was that my fiance and my dog were watching on the live stream at home and that the wedding might be off. Oh, it was cringy. Well, it was put up online, but I've taken it down.
That's got to go on the Chris Grierson show reel on YouTube. Mm. We go from Hollyoaks to Holby City to Rapping with the Manor, surely.
Yeah, we'll do it.
quality.
Other than that, though, yeah, great night. So good. It's good. So good that it's free and that the players come down. A few people wet their knickers online because we didn't reveal the kit, but, you know, there's always a plan. Yeah.
We trust in you, mate, for good reveal. So, this isn't your first rodeo.
Certainly isn't. Yeehaw!
Right. Is what, sorry?
So I was just doing a cowboy noise. Don't worry, it was as cringy as my Box Park opening.
Right, maybe that gets edited out, you know.
No edits.
Okay. Right, let me stab you, mate.
Right in the face.
Right, so let's dive into it. First things first, what's our record like against Cardiff? In the Premier League, we're unbeaten against them, and they failed to score in all three of our meetings in the Prem. Cardiff, this is. So Cardiff failed to score against us in the Prem and never beaten us. Negatively, though, what's our form like at Cardiff in all divisions? We've only won one of nine away league games there. So that's not the positive. We don't travel particularly well there.
What a win that was, though. That one win. That was the...
Yeah.
Obviously, that was the puncheon one, wasn't it? I wasn't there, no. It was before I worked at the club. It was actually my sister's wedding day that day. And as we were waiting to throw the confetti, I was getting goal alert texts.
Is she a Palace fan as well?
Yes. Yeah, whole family.
So why on earth did they plan... This is the key question. Why have they done it during season and on a match day?
I know, it's disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's cheaper in April.
And then, well, yeah, exactly. And then the anniversary is always on a match day as well, pretty much. You might fall around there.
Yeah, true. But her husband is a Sheffield United fan, so... He wasn't bothered.
He doesn't care. No. Well, fair enough. Right, let me crack on. Cardiff's form at the moment, not great. They've lost 8 of the last 10 Premier League games. Their home form isn't great either. They've got the second worst home form in the league. Only Huddersfield have lost more home league games. As we well know, then, our form away from home is nothing short of sensational. Since the turn of the year, only Man City have won more away points than us. They won 21 points, and we've won 16 points since the turn of the year on the road. So, looking pretty positive there.
Yeah, but the bad news is I am working the game. And then at this point of the conversation, we carried on talking for 2.5 minutes about stats, only for me to realise that the recorder had run out of battery, so we didn't record any of it. So now we're going to pretend that never happened and talk about stuff we've already talked about for 2.5 minutes. So I think I just said the bad news is I'm working the game.
That is bad news, Chris. It's not, is it? Because you've not got a great record, have you, following us on the road?
No, I missed the really good games. Leicester away, Burnley away, Man City away, Arsenal away, and Liverpool away.
But you got Doncaster.
Yeah, didn't get there. But I was at the Wolves one. I saw the fireworks and the pyrotechnics. I cracked that. I feel like I've said this.
No, mate, you haven't, mate. It's the first time.
Wow.
First time you've said all of this. Let me get back to strategy, mate, and let's talk. Your favourite manager, Neil Warnock.
Yep.
So, Warnock then. Obviously, if Cardiff lose on Saturday, that's it. They are down. It would be the third team that Neil Warnock has got relegated with in the top line, following Notts County and Sheffield United.
So, yeah, I mean, as I pointed out in a dream, I actually knew that. It was Notts County, Sheffield United. Yeah, yeah. He didn't take QPR down, though. He lost his job at QPR. They weren't even in the relegation zone, I think.
Good man. That's immensely impressive that you've got that one.
Thank you.
Very impressed, mate. But then he is your favourite manager.
Exactly, he is.
Yeah, exactly. Right, let's talk men to watch. And I'm not going to ask you who is the man to watch, because it is always this guy, pretty much. Wilfried Zaha. He has scored 5 goals in his last 6 away league games. So fine form on the road. And this is from my official statistician here at Crystal Palace Football Club, Dan Blundell. And it's a bit of a special one. So one player has scored the last goal to relegate 3 teams now whilst at Crystal Palace. The teams that he's relegated have been Hull City, a 4-0 win, Stoke City, 2-1, and West Brom, 2-0. Now, we relegated them in those games, and he has scored the last goal to rubber stamp the relegation. Who do you think that could be, Chris Pearson?
Patrick Van Aanholt?
Yeah!
I did get that before, didn't I, in the alternate reality?
To be fair to you, you have got that one. Yeah, PVA, the man, the myth, he has scored the last goal to relegate.
Didn't he do it earlier this season? Didn't he do it against Huddersfield? Am I imagining that?
Huddersfield at home, we won 2-0. That was Jeffrey Schlitt. No, that was Fulham. You've caught me here. Who got the last goal in the Huddersfield win?
I don't know. I thought Van Aanholt did it this season, no?
Blimey, well, yeah, we should have picked that one up.
I'm Blundell sure, Stokes, I think you might be wrong on the West Brom.
No, we definitely scored the last one at West Brom.
Did it relegate them, or were they... No, they were already down.
No, we relegated them.
Did we?
Oh,
No, I think they were already down.
Do you know what, mate? We should fake that the recording's gone down again, mate. Because this stat is useless.
I'm pretty sure it was Huddersfield, like a few weeks ago. No?
Yeah, I think you might be right. You're definitely right about West Brom, because I remember the build-up to that game being massive. And we were thinking, oh, God, look at West Brom, the greatest escape. And then they went down just before, didn't they? But it was their last game in the top five.
We definitely relegated Huddersfield, and Van Aanholt scored the second goal, so it was Huddersfield.
Right, okay, so we replaced West Brom with Huddersfield. He's relegated three teams. There you go. Stats still stand.
The stat stands from your point of view, but I think you need to talk to your official statistician.
Well, we might be getting him on the show, I hear.
Yeah, we're going to do an end-of-season stat roundup with you, Blondel, and maybe one other, but I haven't decided who.
Neil Shipley, Darren Ambrose?
Yeah, we could do.
Be nice to get an ex-player's thoughts on it.
And it would, wouldn't it? See what they think of stats.
Yeah, would be nice. Glorious, mate. That is me all statted out. Let's end with the predictions, though. You know, you had a little go at me before recording died for getting the Everton prediction right.
Yeah, you did well, though.
Never nice predicting a nil-nil, but...
The stats said nil-nil. So you did.
Nil-nil, and you go for 4-3.
Yeah, just hopeful. Just hopeful.
What do you go for here? Chris Grierson's positive stat of the week.
Listen to the stats then? So it's going to be... So Cardiff not good at home, we're good away, so we're going to win. Yeah. Wilfred Zaha, amazing form away from home, so he's going to score. Yeah. So we will automatically relegate Cardiff. Therefore, Patrick Van Aanholt is going to score the last goal. So 2-0 Palace, Zaha and Van Aanholt.
Nice. I've gone 3-0. Zaha, Milivojevic, that beats, and PBA at the end. I think the floodgates will open. They'll push players forward as they're desperately scrambling for a goal. Pick them off at ease. That's my prediction anyway.
Okay, good. Nice to hear it.
Two positive predictions. That's me all done. You can stop your recording from the bog and crack on.
Yeah, bloody love a training ground bog. Yeah. It's quite nice when you go to the loo and you're like, ah, Premier League footballers use this.
Yeah. Does Roy have his own private one?
There is a separate coaches section, yeah.
Okay. I imagine you've snuck in there at least once.
I haven't actually. Pardew had his own toilet though. And he once found out someone else used it, and then as a fine, they had to get up and do stand-up comedy in front of all the coaches.
Can you reveal who that was?
I can't, no. It's private. No.
Classified information. That's an interesting one. Well, thank you. Thank you anyway, Chris Grierson. Enjoy the game.
Thanks for that, man. I'll see you next week.
Cool. Cheers, mate.
Bye.
Raw, any injuries first of all from last week or this week in training at all? Anything to
dive injuries? Yeah, we've picked up one, unfortunately. Christian Benteke took a nasty blow to the head 10 or 15 minutes before the end of the game in an accidental collision with Michael Keane. So he's suffering from that blow. Hasn't been able to train with us this week. We'll see how it goes, but it's very unlikely he'll be fit for Saturday. But then we haven't ruled him out yet for next week. We'll see how that goes, but certainly as far as Saturday's concerned, he'll be ruled out.
When you look back at the Everton game, is it slightly tricky that you've almost a victim of your own success? The team's got into such a good position in the table in terms of safety, but then maybe that high level that they were playing at isn't there every week, or as the season starts to come towards the end?
It's one of those games. You know, we didn't pass the ball very well that day. That's one of the... It's not been a major fault in our play during the course of the season, but it certainly was an aspect of the game on Saturday, and you know, maybe we need to give Everton credit for not allowing us to pass the ball and attack as well as we'd like to do. So sometimes in those games you've got to just make certain you get the best you can get, which in our opinion was to stay in the game and work as hard as we did, and in the end you come away with a 0-0 draw, which isn't what you've set out to do, and it's certainly not the the outcome that you would have dreamt of the day before, but that's what the game allowed us to get, and as a result we got one more point than we had before we went into the game.
What's your plan looking ahead to Cardiff, and does it make it slightly more difficult knowing they know they've got to win the game? Does that make it slightly harder to assess what they're going to do, how they're going to do it?
I guess it does in some ways, although there's no doubt that they've been good at home this season. They've had some good results, and they've been pretty unlucky in one or two games that we can all remember. And they've done very well, I think, as a club, you know, to still be in the fight with two matches left. So, but for them, it's a very different situation. You know, we go there knowing that we're safe, knowing that, you know, we've broken the back of our season and got what we wanted out of the season, if you reduce it to a basic level, whereas they, of course, have still got something very, very important to play for. So we've got to expect a very motivated team, a team that's really going to give it its absolute all to you know, cling to the last chances, if you like, of staying in the league and hoping they can win their last two while Brighton don't. So we're going to go there and try and deal with that. And we've got a desire to win the game as well. But whether the game becomes easier for you because they've got such pressure on them, or whether the game becomes more difficult because that pressure brings them up to a level of football which has been higher perhaps than some of the football they've been playing, only the game will tell. But we'll be ready for it, and we are motivated to give a good performance. And apart from Christian, I've got a fully fit squad to choose from, if you dismiss, of course, the ones we mention every week who are out long term.
As a fellow manager, I guess you feel for another manager if you do end up relegating them. You'd feel for Neil Warnock, I guess.
Well, I don't believe in the fact that you do relegate them, you see. I think this is something we're all being encouraged to subscribe to, but I don't subscribe to it. I don't think that the actual game, which brings about the inevitable for a team that's already had, you know, 36 games, I don't believe that it's the 37th game and it happens to be that team and that manager who relegate it. I think what relegates you is the fact you aren't able to get enough points from your 38 games. So I don't subscribe to the theory, and I'm pretty certain that we won't need to feel any, anything other than empathy, which you feel for all managers, you know, in every game, if it hasn't gone their way. Apart from that, I don't think we need to feel anything particular if we are fortunate enough to win the game, and if it means that, unfortunately for them, they do get relegated.
Are you tempted to give some players a run out, bearing in mind you're safe now, or is the aim, I need my strongest team out to finish as high as we can with as many points as we can?
Yeah, basically it's more the latter than the former, but I mean there are situations, there are some things that go through my head with regard to players that one definitely does try to take into some sort of account. But, you know, I think, you know, football matches at this level, they are not there to give people a game or to give people a reward for having done good work in training. You know, this is one of 38 matches we play every year in the league, and they're very important matches. And you know, you have to remember that it's all very well leaving a player out and putting someone else in to give him a game because you're safe, but more often than not, the player you take out doesn't want to be taken out. He wants to play the game as well. So it's a bit of a balancing act. But I mean, certainly one does think more and more in these games about using the contingent that you've got, you know, all of your players, so that you know, maybe do get a chance to get players on the field.
And how pleased are you with how the club has performed generally so far this season, the team, or to be where you are in the league, bearing in mind you're in a relegation battle for a lot of the time?
Yeah, we're in a relegation battle. I don't know, I can't say for certain now, I don't know how many times we're in the relegation zone. I don't remember too many. I mean, were we ever in the relegation zone? I'm not even certain we were. So we were one of a large number of teams, I suppose, that weren't enormous a number of points away from the relegation spot. But I'm satisfied. I think the players have done exceptionally well. Statistically, I suppose, you look at it, it's been a good season in terms of points and where we are now vis-a-vis where we've been before. I don't think we've been an enormously lucky team. I think, in particularly at home, we've had lots of games which could so easily have gone a lot better for us, and where maybe even we deserved a bit better than we got. But then you'd have to say, well, maybe that's been balanced out by some of the away victories where, you know, on occasions we've had to really battle and backs against the wall to get the result that we've got. So things do even out. But the season's been good enough. We always want more. We think that, you know, when we can get our best 11 on the field, we are very much a bona fide Premier League team. But of course, when you get a lot of injuries, and this year we've had players missing for quite considerable lengths of time, not least of all at the end here with Tomkins and Sacco and Jeffrey Schlupp, that does put a strain on the rest of the squad. But fortunately for me at the moment, those guys in these last five or six games where they've been, you know, asked to show what they can do, they've stepped up to the plate and shown exactly what they can do, and we've still got the results which are keeping us moving forward.
Finally for me, how's planning going for next season? Presumably you're looking ahead to next season already. How's planning going for either bins or outs?
Well, I suppose it's not something which you suddenly decide to think about, you know, as the season comes to an end. It's something you're thinking about for very long periods. But until we really get a chance to sit down, all of us, and that's Steve Parish and Doug Friedman and myself and perhaps my coaching staff, until we get a chance to really sit down and say, right, well, where are we? You know, what's likely to be happening? What do we think we can do? Where do we think it would be good to strengthen the squad? Until we get that meeting, everything is still in abeyance. But hopefully we'll get that meeting fairly soon, and then during the summer months, the people concerned will be working on trying to bring to pass, I suppose, you know, any thoughts and ideas we have in terms of strengthening the squad of players. Because it's like everything else, if you don't strengthen, if you don't make changes from time to time, if you don't introduce some new faces, you stand still. And unfortunately, in the Premier League, standing still is tantamount to going backwards. We see that all the time. You know, the league gets stronger and stronger, the teams coming up get stronger, the amount of money the teams coming up spend, or the teams around us in the table spend, that's changing all the time. So actually standing still can be tantamount to going backwards, and that's not something that Steve Parish and the owners or myself and my team want to do.
Thank you.
Okay.
Pete? Boston
Roy. Pete?
Roy, you mentioned Benteke with a concussion problem.
Oh, it's not concussion. Yes, it was a concussion.
Oh, what?
He's damaged his cheekbone.
Oh, okay. Well, I could talk about concussion for a minute, but the
you can talk about it. But it's not. Don't confuse that with.
Yeah.
I've not said Benteke was concussed. He's got a nasty blow to his cheekbone, which has needed treatment and has kept him out of training this week.
Fine. But with what happened at the Spurs Ajax game with Vertonghen, where he was actually off the field and then came back, is it time to look at the concussion protocols again now? Because whose responsibility would it be then in that circumstance, where perhaps the doctor said, yes, it's serious, I'll have to keep him off the field, but somebody said, well, let's get him back again?
Well, I listened to Mamicho's interview after the game, and I think he made it fairly clear that he was putting no pressure at all on the doctor to get him back on the field of play. The player himself might have been exerting a bit of pressure because, you know, players are brave. They even when they're badly injured, they think they can go on and continue. So I don't know if that's the case. But as far as I'm concerned, there are quite strict protocols in place now, and the responsibility is placed very firmly in the doctor's hands because they are, of course, the ones who understand concussion and other medical conditions. So I don't know whether there's any more that can be done. There's always going to be that factor in an important game like this one, that the player himself, the crowd, the importance of the game is going to probably err people towards doing something which is not the very, very best of things they could do in terms of their medical condition or in terms of concussion. There's a risk that they're going to take a chance with it, but I don't think the doctors are looking to take a chance with it, and the doctor must have been satisfied when he went back on the field of play that he wasn't suffering from concussion, and unfortunately, as we saw, he wasn't able to continue, Jonathan.
There's a school of thought running around about substitution for concussion injuries, like sort of introducing a fourth substitute. Is that something you support?
Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't see anything wrong with that at all. I mean, it's we're going to get to that stage. You know, the game is becoming much more of an 11-man game for 90 minutes, and you've got to sub up your sleeve in case someone gets injured. We're going towards bigger groups of players, 25 players in the squad now, rather than 18 or 19 that it might have been some time ago. So I think we're moving definitely towards more substitutes anyway, with the pace and of the game. And certainly if something could be introduced whereby, you know, someone could maybe go on the field and prevent a hastier decision vis-a-vis the state of the concussion that maybe is going to happen at the moment when the doctor's under that enormous pressure. I can't imagine anybody in football would say we don't agree with that. But of course it's up to the authorities to decide if that's a good plan or not.
Wan-Bissaka got the player of the year. Did his teammates get it right?
Oh, he's been very good, hasn't he? There's no doubt about that. And you know, the fact is we as a coaching staff have no influence at all on their voting. So yes, of course they got it right because he's the one they voted for. But he's had a very, very good season. But I don't think he's the only player this year that's had a very good season. I think there's quite a few players in our team that can, you know, stand up and say, well, it's been another good season for Crystal Palace and we have more than played our part.
Are you worried at all that he might be the target of some of the bigger clubs in the Premier League during the summer?
Well, it's a fact of life, isn't it? You know, when you've got players who do well, they're always going to be coveted by other clubs. That's a simple fact of football life. It's, we're not naive. We understand that football works that way. But the whole point of the matter for us at the moment is that he signed a long-term contract with us, and we signed him to be a long-time player with us. And he's doing well here. He knows he's very well appreciated and well liked here, not just by us at the training ground, but by Crystal Palace fans in general. So I have no reason to fear that he won't be continuing here. Because of his contract situation and because of the fact that he seems happy enough with us.
And Steve Parish spoke this week about the development of the new stand. And he's saying that he wants it quicker or as quick as possible. Does that concern you, though, if the investment now is going into the ground, which, to be fair, the ground does need in certain areas, that it might restrict the amount of funds that will be available to yourself for strengthening the team?
Well, I'm part of the club. I mean, it's not just me that wants to strengthen the team and to keep that squad not only ticking over, but, you know, being constantly improved. That's something which everybody at the club wants. And Steve Parish is, and the American guys, they're the owners of the club. So I can't imagine that they're unaware of the fact that, you know, whatever money is available has to be divided or discussed in relation to those matters. So I don't see that as a personal conflict, that, you know, any money spent on the academy or the stadium is affecting me personally anyway. I'm just a part of the club. And we all believe, and that's Steve Parish, Doug Friedman downwards, and presumably the American owners as well. Steve deals with them much more than I do, so I can't speak on their behalf. I think all of them want to see Crystal Palace continue to do well as a football team in the Premier League, and they're fully aware that to do that, occasionally the investment needs to be made. But on the other hand, they want this investment in the stadium, in the academy, which I think is absolutely the right things to do, and it'll be up to them with their club to decide how that should be proportioned. And I don't think in those terms, well, if they're going to be, the money spent on this stand is money being taken from me. I'm just the manager of their club, trying to do the best I can do in their club to maintain our status.